This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, PSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Guys like Mitch Keller and David Bednar know, because a reason that Malzi agrees with, and I think a lot of people agree with, how can you trust, and I agree with, how can you trust Derek Shelton? How can you trust Ben Cherington to orchestrate those trades and get the most back for those guys? So he writes that. You think that's a perfectly reasonable opinion?
I do.
Would you
agree
with that,
yes,
Chris?
Yes, I think that's a very reasonably stated opinion.
So then this is what got my antenna up. After the news came out about Martinez and Rizzo, Mackey tweeted, "Yet the Pirates continue with Cherington. Didn't understand it at the time and still don't." So here is my theory on all this. I would say, among people who are now paid to give opinions on things and not just cover teams, that Jason is probably the fairest to the Pirates. Meaning, I think he is willing to see it from their perspective more than most, for the simple reason that he was around them and closer to them for the longest period of time, having been the beat writer. I think when that happens, like, you develop friendships and relationships with people from covering the team. And it's part of the job. Like, if you're going to get scoops, a lot of it has to do with the relationships you make. So here is my theory. I think Jason is willing to put things out there like Cherington is borderline incompetent and shouldn't be here, because he knows that Cherington isn't going to be here.
The kind of bit where you wouldn't feel safe writing it if there were going to be repercussions, but, well, you know, you've got the backing of people in that org.
And I don't think that Jason is, he's not as worried about repercussions now because he's not covering them on a daily basis. But we've seen what Mackey columns look like when he sees it from both sides, and we hear him on the radio when he gives credence to both sides. Like, I just think he's putting it in these very absolute terms because I think he knows something. I think he knows
that Cherington is not long for his post.
Yeah, and that
that saying this in print, where, like, it's not on the radio where somebody might forget he said it, anyone can go and look at it,
right,
it's not going to harm a relationship that he has there.
Because he's got it on decent authority that
Because the guy won't be there to make his life,
yes,
miserable.
Yeah.
Because the one guy who would be most mad about that, Ben Cherington, won't have any say-so anyway. So, like, but I guess what timetable do you think this puts a firing of Ben Cherington on, or puts a dismissal on? Is he going to hang out till the end of the year?
I just, my reading of the Mackey tea leaves is that, okay, Ben is going to draft. Ben is going to trade IKF. He's going to trade Heaney. He's going to trade, get whatever he can, a six-pack, and it doesn't have to be cold, for Tommy Pham and Adam Frazier.
And then he's going to get
he's
the hell
done.
Out.
Yeah.
And so at the either end of the year or just post-deadline, even in September, he might just get fired.
Yeah, and then I think August and September and October, the Pirates will start to put together their list of candidates for the GM job.
Okay, here's my question.
And they might even hire somebody before the season's over.
Don't you think Charrington's got to have a sense of this too on some level? If that's actually,
yes.
If you're right. I mean,
I think so.
Then why even do the trades and do the draft? Why not just say, like, can you just fire
resign?
Me now? No, just fire me so I can collect unemployment, I guess.
Collect unemployment? No, Chris, he's made millions of dollars. What are you talking about?
Haven't you ever heard the old bit people saying regular jobs or you aren't making millions? Oh, I got to make them fire me because if I resign, then I can't collect unemployment. That's all that's a reference to. Why would he want to keep, though? Forget about that aside, obviously. Why would he want to keep doing the job if he knew he was doing it just to be let go as soon as he's done with these last couple perfunctory things? What is in it?
Well, there are
Ben
two. Hold on. There's two different things here at play. Just because you have a sense something bad might happen doesn't mean it's a guarantee. So until he knows for sure that he's done, he's going to keep doing the job as well as he can because there is.
What
if
if it goes perfectly for me here and these are great moves,
yeah.
I save my job.
Right. So having a sense it might happen and knowing it might happen are two completely different things. And I don't know, like I was chatting with Austin a little bit, who produced Mackie today, and I came away from the conversation with him thinking the same thing. Like Austin hearing Jason got the sense that he was very, very emphatic that he thinks Charrington is going to have his hands tied at the deadline and there's only going to be little minor things that happen. That was Austin's read on things. Do we trust Austin's? Donnie, what do you think? You sit in the same chair.
Austin's acumen, do you trust it?
Him being able to read people? Is he a people reader? That he is hearing Mackie and he's thinking that this is Mackie like offering up something as opinion, but there's really like a reporter
slant. We all
to
know
it.
What a lot of people sound like when, yeah, Donnie, when they have really good sources on something or when they're just throwing
one. Pop does that
wall.
All the time.
So Austin's sitting back here thinking Jason knows something we all don't.
Yes.
He might be onto something.
I think Austin's perceptive enough to know that.
If this is all true, do you like this strategy? Like, it is a half measure. Like, he's still here. They're not doing what the Nationals are doing.
No, I don't like
it. But they're also not letting Charrington, like...
No, I don't like half measures. Just fire him. Just be done. I saw people question the timing of what the Nationals did. I don't care.
But the idea that... Yeah, I agree with that. But if you're still going to let him run the draft, and yeah, that could be damaging. They could make another Henry Davis pick. That would set the franchise back. I mean, then again, his last pick was Connor Griffin. I mean, people seem to think that was a great pick.
It looks like one now.
It looks like it right now. But you limit the damage he can do if you don't let him trade those big guys.
It's just, I just have such a hard time coming down on any side of this other than if you don't trust him to this degree that you're not going to let him make any significant trades, why is he employed?
Well, let me just, as just devil's advocate for a second. You can't hire someone fast enough to trade those guys,
no,
right?
You can't. But I mean, do you even need a GM to make those deals?
The little ones?
No. Yeah.
No, probably not.
You can have somebody like that might be one of
Neil Huntington took 2 months of Tony Watson and turned it into O'Neill Cruz, so I guess it does matter on some levels. You know, Ricardo Rincon turned into Brian Giles. So sometimes those lottery tickets do get cashed in.
The only thing Charrington has in his favor is those are the deals he's done a better job of winning. Castro for Bailey Falter. I mean, how many big assets has he tried to deal?
Probably like 5 to 10 and
gotten Bupkis in return.
Getting David Bednar back is like the best he ever did.
Yeah, and he should have traded him and hung on to him too long.
That was the Joe Musgrove trade, right, Donnie? Didn't Bednar come back in
yeah.
that deal?
Didn't they get a guy like
yes?
Didn't they get like a guy named Hudson Head in that
yes.
trade?
He was supposed to be the stud.
And Endy came back from the Mets in that deal, but like I don't feel good about Endy Rodriguez anymore.
I don't know. I guess I just come back to and continue to say if you are this close to being done with him and are this close to being dead set that there's nothing he could do to change your mind, just rip the Band-Aid off. And I think Bob Nutting, his biggest sin on this particular front for a while now has been everything we heard that after last year there was reporting that he was very unhappy enough to consider firing both manager and GM after last season, but that he did not do it or that he was talked out of it is a huge negative for him and for this franchise. They should have just been decisive, and instead they, to borrow a Steelers Tomlin expression, they lived in their fears.
Donnie, what would you do at the trade deadline then? If you're not going to fire Charrington, does he have permission to trade Bednar, Keller, Reynolds, Santana?
I'm more worried about the Keller one more than any. But I mean that's just one you have to dig your heels in on, because you know that he is going to be one of the biggest names at the deadline. Like, that can't just be you accept any decent offer that comes across the table. Like, you have to set the bar high.
But I don't trust Charrington to set the bar. That's what Jason Rowe and
I. What if there's an edict telling him, hey, we want that salary off the books?
I would prefer him not deal Keller, because I don't trust him to make that.
Well, I don't think there is that edict, unless Jason's info is bad or my interpretation of what Jason is saying is wrong. Like, Mackey's making it sound like they're not going to trade those guys because they don't trust the GM to get the right return.
I guess I was having that like worst case scenario flash through my head, where they want to clear the decks on the contract there. Would you trust him to trade Key Brian Hayes if somebody in the AL, like say the Yankees, bat heavy team?
Yes, you know why though? That's a difference. That's a whole different thing. I'm happy you brought his name up though, because that to me is just a salary dump. Isn't Key Brian Hayes just get the contract off the books and take whatever you can get for him?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's try to find a team that has a lot of bats and needs help on defense, and he's maybe more attractive to a team like that. Maybe. Just because you're going to get a great glove here. And if it's the Yankees, just because I saw somebody hypothesize
that. People are hyping
that
like you can't believe.
I mean, they don't care about paying him, what is it, $9 or $8 million this year? That's an accounting error for them.
I don't agree with that, though.
Don't agree with what part of it?
I don't agree with the fact that they don't care about that, because they're close enough to that number where if you go over it, you have to pay a luxury tax, which owners don't want to do, and you give up your first round pick in those situations. So is Key Brian
Hayes...
Could
they trade somebody back from their major league roster that would zero out the money? Anybody that they have that they're overpaying right now?
So we get their bad contract for our bad contract, that situation?
If it would be an expiring bad contract.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Tracked.
In order to be prepared for that and schedule it out in anticipation of that, we did make some adjustments to his calendar so that his pitching schedule between now and the All-Star break will allow him to be eligible to pitch on Tuesday, July 15th, the day of the All-Star game. He'll likely pitch again on 4 days rest. We might be mindful with volume on those days because we do want him to have a chance to pitch in that game on the 15th.
I'm still, having heard that now for a second time, shocked that that clip or quote from Charrington didn't get more play. He all but admitted that the Pirates changed their own pitching rotation,
their lineup, their schedule,
to make sure Skeens was available to pitch in the All-Star game. I've never heard of that in my entire life.
In a sense, it's the most meaningful game he'll pitch in the rest of the year.
Right. Well, wrong, because the games he'll pitch in the second half will determine if he wins a Cy Young or not. But
you knew the joke.
In terms of like the attention given to a...
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
It's more that they won't be playing in team meaningful games, and I am aware that there is no more meaning attached to the All-Star game, thank God.
Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Maury Brown writes for Forbes. He's one of the great baseball writers of all time when it comes to the dollars and cents of baseball. So, Maury, Andrew Filippone, Chris Muller back here in Pittsburgh. You're in Seattle, where the Pirates didn't score a run in a series for the first time since the 19th century, so congratulations on your success for being around there to see that bit of history. We just played you that clip of Ben Charrington talking about changing Skeens' schedule around to pitch in an exhibition game. Have you ever heard of anything like that in your entire life?
I haven't, but you know, I don't know if it was one of these things where I would be too terribly surprised at this stage. I mean, the season, you'd hate to see this, right? I mean, the season is a season, so you're going to go ahead and you're going to roll out and market the guy because he is, of course, the lone real bright spot, right, for the Pirates. And he's a generational guy. You know, he's going to be something that hopefully they build around. So what, did they sit there and go, you know, we're going to go ahead, we're going to alter the schedule, go ahead and get him in, you know, so that we can try and make that happen for him. Give him a platform to get out there and market the Pirates, you know, help for maybe season tickets for next season or whatever the heck it's going to be. But again, I mean, in terms of meaningful games, right, where it's really going to matter at this point, like you guys said it going into the segment here with me, like I am hard pressed to think about anything maybe quote unquote meaningful more than giving him a national platform to pitch in the All-Star game.
Maury, we just heard, it was obviously Ben Charrington talking about, you know, we've heard him talk about just the trade deadline coming up. And obviously it's been so bad in team building for the Pirates around Skeens that people even floated the idea of, would the Pirates trade Paul Skeens now for a huge haul in return? When you talk to people around baseball, what's the perception of just how badly Charrington has done at building a team around Skeens and what his immediate future is kind of as a result of that failure?
Well, I mean, we've been talking about this for, you know, I don't know, a decade longer. Guys, I've always looked at the Pirates this way, right? You can say that it is an unfair thing in terms of the revenues that the club takes in, and you can't argue that. It's a fair thing to say. Fine, go out, draft well, develop your players, go ahead and do it, you know, through your pipeline and do that. But you run out of excuses if you can't do one or the other. You should be able to handle one or the other here. If you can't do it, again, through free agency and everything else, you're going to say that you just don't have the revenues to compete with the big boys here. then you should be able to develop. And, you know, this just seems to be a reoccurring theme. And I just have to imagine that this is a Bob Nutting thing. And I have no idea whether Charrington holds on to his job. I mean, my gosh, it's not like there's been any improvement or a severe drop over the last 5 or 6 years, right? I mean, it's just been this seesaw. I mean, the best that the Pirates have had, and it seems like, with the exception of this year, they come out of the gate really hot. And then it's just by about the All-Star break, the wheels start to fall off. As far as Skeens go and trying to trade him, I don't see it, though. I really don't. I mean, you could look at this a number of ways, right? So let's just take this from the nuts and bolts. If it was, you know, they're just not going to build them around him, and they've done such a horrible job with him, he's a marketing piece. You know, people are going to want to come out and see him pitch. And, you know, that's a horrible way to put it and a horrible way to wrap it up. But there is that. They haven't done a good job. I've sat here looking at the roster, thinking about whether there are trade pieces that they have that would be worth a doggone on the open market to try and build something, you know, around Skeens right now. And I just really can't. I mean,
well, I think Keller and Bednar would get something back. I think they could get something for both of those guys for sure.
Well, let me rephrase that. Could they get something back from them? Sure. I mean, absolutely. There are always going to be pieces on every roster that have some intrinsic value that you could get trades on. Is it enough to move the needle, or is this just going to be a perpetual rebuild? And that is the way that if I sound jaded, if I sound, you know, pessimistic about the Pirates.
You sound like our callers, Maury, and we don't usually disagree with them when they make these points, because it's hard to argue the last 30 years of baseball here.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. I think that the thing that was most depressing was when there was the wild card run. I thought that there was a chance that they would go ahead and go, all right, we made the wild card, now let's go ahead and do something. And they really didn't. So, you know, again, Skeens would have incredible trade value. But if I'm going to take Charrington's word on all this, they're not going to trade him. And, you know, God bless him if they don't. It's just whether they are able to do something around him or whether they're just going to let him, you know, rot on the vine, which I think would be horrible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There would just be a point where free agency comes around.
Maury, you cover baseball from an economic business side. You write for Forbes. It's one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on. People have talked about the next CBA. Do you see a change in baseball coming where someday soon franchises like the Pirates actually have the means and the parameters within the game to keep a Paul Skeens beyond his first contract?
Well, so would they be able to, they could do that now. I mean, I think the problem when we talk about this, right? So there's this notion that if there was a salary cap in place, that it would allow for teams like the Pirates to be competitive and maybe, right, in small buckets. And the reason for this is it's not like baseball is unlike other sports. It is really like if I go and I get a skill player in the NFL or the NBA, I can move the needle immediately. You cannot do that in baseball. It really is about overall roster construction. It has to be good from top to bottom, your pitching staff and 1 through 9. And the Pirates just haven't done that. The other thing about it is if you put a salary cap in, right?
Yep.
You're going to go ahead and you're going to tamp it down at the very top. And the Pirates would be nowhere near that. What they would have to do is maybe bump in from the bottom if there was a salary floor.
You think that could happen?
So, hey, do I think that a salary cap and a floor could happen?
Yeah.
I think that it could happen if you lost 3/4 of the season. I mean, it would really have to be something absolutely detrimental. Now, look. Rob Manfred, I think, has been really smart politically. He's gone out and he said, hey, guys, you know, if you had jumped on this thing with a percentage of league revenues, you guys would be making a lot more money right now. Now, that speaks to the rank and file. Doesn't speak to, of course, the free agents at the top that are making, you know, the stars that are making big money. The thing that gets lost in that discussion for Manfred was, and I don't think that this happens again in a million years, But the MLB players were the only ones that got guaranteed money during the pandemic and the shortened season. You know, it was prorated, right? But they got all their money. And team, you know, the NBA, the NFL, where it was tied to league revenues, they took it in the shorts on that. So, again, there's always going to be that, right? I mean, could it happen one day? I mean, right now, I think the biggest reason you're going to hear more of it is that the franchise values are not as high as certainly the NBA, which they should be, you would think, that MLB teams would be going for as much, if not more. The other thing about it is that I really think that there's been some political damage with the MLBPA, and I'm absolutely positive that Rob Manfred sees that, knows that there's a faction within the players that are upset with, you know, the Players Association leadership, and he's trying to drive a wedge. So does it happen? I mean, anything can happen. I think that the odds of losing regular season games are very, very real. You know, we lost a week last time. They crammed 162 games in, losing a week on the calendar and still got 162 in. I think that we lose regular season games this time around. I think that they're going to try and dig their feet in. And when I say they, I mean the owners.
Maury, just to clarify that, because you kind of answered my next question with what you said there at the very end. I've been reading elsewhere, though. It's always obviously owners versus players, labor and management at odds. Is it true, though, that there is a little bit more unrest, owner versus owner, than normal in one of these looming work stoppage situations, that there is a real fracture or at least some fissures in the ownership itself, just like you mentioned with the Players Association leadership and some of the players as well?
Yeah, I mean, there always is. I mean, that was, you know, look, every commissioner has got warts, right? But Bud Selig's thing was he was really able to seem to speak to both the low revenue clubs and the high ones and be able to be there. Now, look, Manfred seems to have done okay with that. You know, when he took over from Bud Selig, he was called Bud Light. He's clearly made his own way and done a lot of different things. You know, some popular, some not. I think that the big thing would be the idea of revenue sharing, and this is going to happen with the TV deals, right? So if you're the Pirates, they, you know, I don't know if you guys know this, but they really got the bad end of the deal when the media rights explosion hit in the early 2000s. They were the first team to get a deal right before that happened, right? So they missed out. And then now when it starts to come into their own, when they might be able to go ahead and do something, now the floor is dropping out on them with streaming. So I think there will be a big talk about a national package for the out-of-market package, right? MLB.TV. That, I think, will be a deal that is a potential discussion. The real problem is that there are a lot of teams, your Yankees, your Dodgers, Cubs, you know, you guys know the usual suspects, right? Yep. Your big brands. Mm-hmm. They're not going to want to do that sort of thing. So, again, it's, you know, whether there's something of value in it for them, whether they look at it in the long haul. But, I mean, increased revenue sharing would be the way to go. The luxury tax has provided a lot of that, which is another conversation about the cap. Hey, I guess when you put in a cap in place, suddenly all that money that was flowing in due to, you know, the Mets and the Dodgers going so wildly over the luxury tax that funnels back to all the clubs,
that would go away. Yep.
So yep. That's something to really put into context with this whole thing. For the Pirates, it's really difficult, right? They're never going to come close to the top. So they're not concerned about a cap. They're going to get asked to increase due to a floor. And then, like, where's their revenue sharing? And how are they going to be able to get more money that way? I mean, you can go ahead and make the players try and pay for it, but it's not going to solve the problems that the Pirates have.
Maury Brown, great stuff from Forbes up in Seattle, where the Pirates didn't score a run this week. Maury, thanks so much. Enlightening stuff. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. You take care. Thanks so much for having me.
You bet. So he thinks they could get a cap and floor if
doesn't
most
think
of
it's
2027.
Solve the Pirates' problems.
No, he doesn't.
So what's, I mean,
yeah.
You tweeted out already that you would make that trade?
Yeah, now I'm not sure I would. I would, because I do think it makes it better, but it doesn't fix everything.
Well, because there's going to be, how many teams will be collected at the bottom just making sure that they make signings that get them over the floor?
And how far away is that floor from the ceiling?
Pretty far,
I mean, if it's a $150 million gap, what?
What good does the ceiling or floor really do?
$110 million is the floor, and what, $260 million is the ceiling?
Yeah, so if you're still $150 million away.
I don't know, man. Like, if we had more time with Maury, you know what I would have said? Hey, Maury, seems pretty grim about the existence of the sport in its current form.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
In general.
I think what we want to do is be really on. We are being really honest about where we are. I believe the organizational talent is improving. It is. It's not leading to enough wins on the field at the major league level. Not yet. And we got to do that. And you have to be honest about where you are now and recognize that, you know, we're not like a win or two away from being where we want to be. We're more than that. And if you're more than that, it's, you know, then you got to be pretty open-minded about the things that have to happen to get to where we want to be and get there as fast as we can, at least put ourselves in a position to have a chance to do that. I don't know what that's going to lead to, but I know we have to be really open-minded about at least the possibilities.
Bucko minute time, where we get a little Charrington chatter in his comments from his radio show yesterday afternoon before the Pirates were shut out again by the Mariners. The Fan and the Pirates want to visit your teams in action for a youth baseball and softball showcase presented by Sheets. Is this a tryout for hitters, or is this just them wanting to encourage kids to play baseball? Maybe it's both. Send an email to us at 937thefan.com. Register your 12 and under teams, and the Fan may make a stop to your field. Details at 937thefan.com. Brought to you by Keystone Custom Apparel. Does Charrington realize when he says, you know, we're not a win or two away, there's a big gap between us and where we want to be, that even though he throws in the caveat of, hey, overall, if you look at every level of our minor leagues, we're better than when I got here, The fact that in year six you're admitting that you're not close is a very damning statement. I don't think he gets that it's incriminating. Now, maybe he feels, unlike what we talked about earlier this hour, that he actually isn't in danger of getting fired, and he can freely admit those things and be honest, as he said at the beginning of that clip, and it's fine because the owner has his back.
My initial reaction would be, Ben, we're all trying to find the guy who did this, who made it so that we're not close here, that this team's not close. Who could it be? It's like when the news reporter's reading the thing about the suspect that they're on the lookout for in the sketch artist has the guy that looks exactly like him over his shoulder.
Yeah, I remember that one. That was
like,
brilliant.
Come on, man.
That was really good.
We're all looking for the guy who did this. Uh-oh, it's the guy saying it. And I know Maury Brown even said it. I think you get an interesting national perspective there when the first name he names is the owner still and kind of floats the how much better can it be with anybody else as the GM. But, man, I think here in the fishbowl, we've seen some of the bad moves that are very much Ben Cherington's bad moves to make. And, dude, you're the reason that – like, you're one of the two principal reasons things are as bad as they
are. So here's the next piece of audio from him. This one makes it sound like in year six, if they're going to win, it needs to come from the food being made in a crock pot, let's say, or a slow cooker, and not a microwave.
Obviously, everybody knows we're not pacing at a 95 win rate where, like, you can look at it like, well, let's add one reliever and one piece on the bench and feel good. We got to do more than that. A lot of it's still going to have to happen internally. We know that drafts coming up. It's another opportunity, international player development. We've got some exciting things happening in the minor leagues for sure. But the next 4 weeks are going to present opportunities to do things that will help us win those games faster. We got to find those opportunities and execute.
Right. So there's still opportunities to make yourself better, but he said it's slower. Really going to come from within, the minor leagues and the draft.
So that's the difference between barbecuing and grilling, right, Pony? He's going to have it on the slow smoker versus the hot grill.
But Donnie, he's basically saying be patient in year six. These guys in the minor leagues are really good. Trust me on this. It's
Source,
not year
me,
one
bro.
Or two.
And he's having Connor Griffin, I feel, do a lot of the heavy lifting, by the way, when it comes to hitters. I mean, we know that they
whatever happened to Termar Johnson? I haven't heard Termar Johnson's name in forever.
He fell out of the top 100.
I haven't heard his name in forever.
He's regressed. He's not
doing
in the futures
okay.
game.
Bubba Chandler had an atrocious June. Not that we're like
he bounced back in his last start, but
sure,
still.
But like he hit a little hiccup. If and when Connor Griffin reaches that point where he hits a hiccup, I think everyone's going to worry about it.
Donnie, you say it's Connor Griffin who he's trying to now like attach himself to maybe save his ass.
He'd be in like year eight by the time Connor Griffin gets up here.
But listen to him just talk about, this is, where is he, Greensboro Griffin?
Yeah.
This is him talking about his trip to watch the Greensboro Grasshoppers. You'd think he just went out and saw the Big Red Machine.
Oh boy.
That he's seeing like the 1975 Reds play at the Pirates single A affiliate.
There's so many good things going on there in Greensboro because it's a talented team. But when you're there, you kind of feel why. It's such a good vibe. Those players are really supporting each other, holding each other accountable. The staff's doing a great job. So it was exciting to see that because I literally just left and kind of gotten to know some of those guys even better. Yeah, just a great accomplishment, great experience, great event for that group.
Hey, they're all 5 years away, but damn it, if you give me 5 years to see this through.
Pittsburgh, we need to merely double the time I've been on the job, and in year 11 of the Ben Cherington administration, we might win 84 games.
I mean, if I knew I'd done a bad job. And
wait till you see who I get for Paul Skeens in a trade to augment these Greensboro Grasshoppers.
If I knew that I was like doing a bad job and was possibly on the chopping block, to be honest and clear, I would be doing the same thing he's doing. Before you let me go, the guys at the who need the most time to marinate, the ones at the very, very bottom of my
what
our
will
minor
they do
league
if
system
you fire
are
me?
So
they'll
good.
Be so despondent that the man who drafted
and the vibe,
them,
you don't want to mess with that vibe.
They love me. They call me Fun Ben.
Oh man,
I just go back, juxtapose that though with Mackey basically saying, you know, implying with it how strong his opinion is that Cherington's just done.
Here's another thing that's interesting about Cherington. You would think, if this actually speaks to what you just said and what I hypothesized about Mackey, you would think if he knew he had, not autonomy, but had the license to make big trades, Keller was a part of that. It's July 7th, the deadline's in 3 weeks. Would you not think, if you were in his shoes and you knew you could trade him and you knew that he was in demand, wouldn't you try to talk him up?
Yes.
Wouldn't you just maybe not, like, you know, talk about how valuable starting pitching is and how important starting pitching is to win? Like, doing those things. All general managers have, you know, they put the sales job on.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to him. This is the opposite. He's downplaying the market for Keller in this clip.
It used to be that in season, every contending team in baseball in season was looking for pitching of some kind. Sometimes the only teams that were looking for offense were, like, you know, if they had a specific hole to fill. Somebody had been hurt, or, you know, maybe they're looking for a platoon bat or something like that, sort of a piece. But whereas every contending team is going to add some kind of pitching. I don't expect that to be that different. Offense is harder to come by than ever, and that's not just for the Pirates. That includes even for contending teams. In a lot of cases, the offense is harder to come by than ever. So I do anticipate, you know, they're looking to find offense anywhere they can get it. In some ways, I think teams continue to be confident in their ability to create the pitching from within. So, you know, maybe there are cases where a team feels like, you know, like, we got this guy, we got this pitcher in AAA. We might give this pitcher a shot first before we go make a trade.
Pony, hold on. That is an incredible clip. Not just for what you said. Think about this. What's the one thing his defenders have given him, not defenders, but people give him credit for?
Pitching.
He's basically saying, oh, it's kind of easy to do that part. It's really hard to find hitters, though. He's underselling and undercutting the one thing that people give him credit for doing.
Yeah, you guys might think we're going to trade Keller, but I've talked to these guys. They'd rather have a go at it with their AAA guys and see if they can get it done.
I just, again, cannot imagine saying out loud, knowing that the one thing I could hang my hat on was good pitching all the way up and down the lineup, and then essentially saying, yeah, it's kind of easier to do that now more than ever. What it's really hard to do is the thing I'm worse at than anybody.
Donnie, did you always think this guy was kind of a buffoon? Your second team is the Red Sox. He won a World Series running their team. Did you always think, like, actually, he might have a World Series ring, and he was the architect of that team, but the Pirates are getting a guy who's largely incompetent as a general manager? Or did you need to see him display the incompetence here to feel that way?
I mean, at the time that he was their GM, I wasn't paying as nearly close attention to the Red Sox operations as I was here. So I had to see him put it out firsthand. And he's done it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to go back in time and find out what my take was on Charrington when they hired him.
I was receptive to it.
I think I was on the other end of it.
I liked it. I said, because it reminded me a little bit of Hurdle. You know, Hurdle to me was one for one as a manager before he got here. It didn't end well with the Rockies, but he got that franchise to the World Series. So I was excited. And I thought Charrington was one for one as a GM. He won a World Series. I was wrong.
I remember.
He is
not
good at his job.
I don't have a tweet that I can find that definitively states my opinion on him, but I remember being very
underwhelmed.
Yeah. The first tweet I can find, like, on his hiring is a picture of him staring out blankly into space, flanked by Nutting and Travis Williams, and it was me hypothesizing that he was thinking about one of those old cheesy gyro ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered.
Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.